Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 92 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make theater happen. You can find all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other fine podcast streaming services, so go back and fill your boots. And if you have a spare 30 seconds, please rate and review the podcast to help us be more discoverable to listeners who haven't heard about us yet. But now for this week's podcast. Last week we brought you an episode with the company of Little Voice, a successful stage-to-screen adaptation, and this week we're bringing you an adaptation where we strike and reverse that. Bring It On was a cult hit movie, loosely translated for the stage with music by someone you may have heard of, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Well, he wrote half the music, with Tom Kitt teaming up with Lin for the score, lyrics by Amanda Green and Lin-Manuel Miranda, and a book by Jeff Witte. Set in two competing high schools, hence the two different composers with two completely different sounds, the musical is a camp expose of the bitchiness, and I say that in air quotes, that can exist in the world of cheerleading and the roller coaster ride that is life in an American high school. Believe me, I experienced it, with its cliques of jocks, geeks, and, well, everybody in between. Now, I got to chat to company members Robin McIntyre, who plays Super Ernest Campbell, and Isabella Pappas, who plays Super Bitchy Skylar, along with musical director Chris Ma before the show at the Southwark Playhouse. Now, apologies for the noise, but there was a bit of set construction or building or something happening. Well, all sorts were happening. It's a working theater, y'all. Anyway, we sat down to talk about the journey of the show, the company bonding experience through learning competitive cheerleading, as you do, and the pressure of putting on a cult hit musical as a theater academy in one of London's Fringe's most popular venues. Have a listen.
I'm Isabella Pappas, and I play Skylar.
I'm Robin McIntyre, and I play Campbell.
And I'm Chris Ma, I'm the musical director of Bring It On.
Excellent. Now, I've known Isabella for a while, so just full disclosure, we saw you in The Nether about 4 or 5 years ago? Is that 4 years ago?
Four years ago.
Okay. And this, I can imagine. Now, I have only heard pieces of, okay, you're going to shoot me, I've never seen the film. I'm coming into this completely blind. But from what I see, a little bit of research, this might be a little departure from last time I saw you on stage.
Oh, it's definitely different.
And what I'll do is ask you kind of what the show's about. So if anybody doesn't know and they're listening and they just, you know, what's the musical and you know, in a nutshell?
It's about young teens in their high schools in America, but although it's about cheerleading and it's about these competitions and like this tiny little things in life, the bigger picture is equality and, well, it's a lot of rivalry, but it's actually just about being yourself and accepting each other, and I guess it's just teaching a lot of life lessons to young adults, really.
Yeah.
I don't think it's about the cheerleading at all in the end, which is why it's good to do it in a space like this, because I don't think you need the massive grand stage and everything, because once you're in a close-knit, like, proximity, you get the story so much clearer.
Yeah. I'm American, like, I grew up with
you know, playing American football, cheerleading, mm-hmm. sort of big part of, mm-hmm. of it. You know, for you, not being very old, was it an interesting kind of insight, or did you kind of, and Isabel, were you the kind of go-to for
it was different for me because when I was younger, I did cheerleading.
Yeah.
But obviously it's very different when you're in high school and you start doing varsity.
Yeah.
But from what I did get from it, there is a lot of competition, even when you're really young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even when you're in primary school, there is still a lot of competition because it's such a competitive sport. People take it really seriously.
Yes.
And I think the nice thing about this show is that it sort of doesn't try to take itself too seriously, mm-hmm. because if it does, then it can kind of come across as pretentious because it's not the biggest problems you can face in life.
Yeah.
It's not getting a cheerleader, but it kind of communicates a bigger problem.
I don't know. I kind of grew up with some people like that. That's definitely the biggest problem if they didn't get on the team. I mean, it is a serious thing in America. Like, on ESPN, you have cheerleaders. I mean, the college cheerleaders, like, get scholarships. And, you know, it's a proper industry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Is that so? Do you guys have to do a lot of research into it, or...?
Yeah, well, one of the boys, Matthew Brazier, he's done a lot of cheerleading, so he's like the cheerleading supervisor, but I didn't really know anything about it. I knew the odd thing, but I'd never done anything before I came to this show.
Well, what was it like? I'm sure there's a lot of cheering and throws.
Yeah,
and
I get thrown in the air quite a lot, so that is quite scary.
You've been having time in the air.
Yeah, it's like I went to a dancey drama school and there's lots of lifts and things like that, but it's nothing like this.
No,
it's very, very different.
Did you have any kind of like a boot camp, when we take on roles and,
We didn't really have a boot camp, but there was sort of the kind of boot camp element throughout rehearsals.
Yeah, we've tested out so many things and taken things out and seen if that would work, and we had to rehearse. We had a lot of time in the actual space, like editing things, because they maybe didn't work as well as they did in the other rooms that we had, or the ceiling would be too short.
Yeah, because the Proxemics in the theatre are pretty specific.
Yeah.
Because you have people so close to you that there's the health and safety aspect as well. Like, you don't want to kick someone in the face. So we had to test that sort of out so that there wasn't any.
But that's the first thing we do when we get here before warm up and stuff. We do lifts.
Yeah.
Every single lift to test it for safety.
And
so far.
And there's I imagine there's quite a bit of music in this, isn't there?
There's quite a lot of music in the show, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, how did you approach that? Because, you know, take me through the actors and actresses you're working with here. So, the backgrounds, because you've worked with the group before, or the theatre gathering.
I've worked with the company before.
The company,
so I worked with Isabella. And indirectly with Robin as well, because I taught at the college that Robin went to.
Okay.
So I know Robin and a few other people in the cast already before we started rehearsals. But in terms of the teaching the music, the whole process, it's quite complex.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the show is written by Lin-Manuel Miranda and Tom Kitt,
mm-hmm.
orchestrated by Tom Kitt and Alex Lacamoire,
mm-hmm.
whom I've worked with when I was sort of, you know, assisting him on Hamilton, which was last year.
Yeah.
So actually, having done that role, assisting him, kind of make everything a lot more clear, what I'm reading, because there's a very specific style of...
He's intricate in his playing.
Yes.
I mean,
it's just so dense, and everything's so well thought out.
Yeah.
You know, part of his genius is doing that.
Mm.
But at the same time, presents a whole lot of thought, if you like, in terms of how you translate that. Because again, what he does really well is he literally take a carbon copy of what they did on Broadway and put it down onto paper, and you can trace every single person's track on that sheet of music. So I mean, they call it man and woman 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 so forth. Actually, no, female 1, 2, 1 to 8. And you can see all of that. Every single person's track is written down on the sheet music.
Right.
And given our little, you know, modest company, we don't have 16-piece ensemble.
What?
I mean, I don't think it will fit in a Southwark Playhouse anyway. But my job, therefore, then I have to translate and try to find a better alternative to keep all the sound and all the harmonies and all the lines.
Yeah.
But also adapting it to work for the company that we have.
Yeah.
So what a lot of things that I've done is to, you know, sort of have everyone singing at the same time. Without giving away any secrets, we have to do a lot of backing singing.
Yeah.
So a lot of bumping up
yeah.
to make the sound sounds fuller, because I mean it's...
Well, that's something, you know, we've covered a lot of shows,
yeah.
and we're backstage a lot of shows.
Yeah.
That is something that's, I suppose, expected now.
Yeah.
I mean, people really want that
yes.
full sound.
Except there are no track singing.
Nice.
Unlike some other shows,
yeah.
There are pre-recorded tracks. All singing in this show are done live, which I'm very proud of.
Yeah.
So a lot of people come up to me and say, were there a lot of track elements? I was like, there were track elements,
yeah.
but they were all the sound in
yeah.
terms of digital sound elements of it, but not in terms of singing.
Yeah, perfect. I'd like to ask about British Theatre Academy, because I really haven't come across... For I mean, I don't know if it's under the radar. Well, it's going to be under my radar. I'm 45 years old. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but
you don't look it.
Oh, but so how did you guys get involved? And what is your kind of curriculum like? And how do you guys? Because you guys are prolific. I mean, I see there are two or three shows on at the moment or something. That you guys are doing?
Four.
Oh, four shows going on at the moment. So how does that happen? Like, tell me about your class in the academy.
So. When I first started kind of becoming a part of British Theatre Academy, it was because I saw something online
yeah.
about 13. And so I went to the audition. I didn't really know what the British Theatre Academy was. But then once I started getting involved with it, I kind of realized that it was this big family. And there's this big kind of gap sort of in the industry
mm-hmm.
for people from the ages sort of 14 to 18 almost.
Yeah.
And... the British Theatre Academy kind of does a really good job of helping people in that age group specifically to be able to still work and still keep up their training and still keep up their performing.
Mm.
Because performing is something that's hard to come across in a lot of other schools that you go
yeah,
to.
Yeah, sure. And is that so close to your schooling that we do normally, or is it a proper school as well?
No, it's a surplus to the schooling I do
wow.
normally.
Okay.
So... when we put on shows, it sort of gives us the ability to kind of showcase ourselves,
yeah.
sort of, and they get a lot of great press in, so it can give you the ability to get an agent or just to meet loads of people in the industry, and it's just a really good thing.
Yeah. No, I think it's a fantastic thing. Like, that, I had no idea that it wasn't a proper school. I mean, this is a... you know, you've got to do your maths and sciences and everything else, and then you get to do some. But I suppose it just means that you're still grounded, and but learning what it's like to
yeah.
to kind of, I suppose, grind out a performance, or grind out
yeah.
a production when in the real world, I suppose.
Yeah. It's just good opportunities for everyone of all ages. Because for me, I've just graduated drama school. I'm
yeah.
23. I'm not like a British Theatre Academy kid, like what
yeah.
they
yeah.
call them, or member or whatever. I got this through my agent, through like a lot of the older ones.
Yeah.
Got this. A lot of people think it's just a youth production. It's like technically a youth production, but in a scale of a theatre like this.
Yeah.
And we saw it as like a graduate, good opportunity to be showcased. So yeah, so a lot of us are doing it just to. Get our faces and stuff like that, but obviously now we are part of the British Theatre Academy.
Yeah, but I mean the exposure's been brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean we noticed at Current Call just how amazing the social media aspect
mm-hmm.
of this production has happened, and not just this one, but all of the productions. I guess it's four. I mean, that's really important in today's. You know, climate, to be able to kind of rise to the top. And so much chatter. However, I've noticed you guys kind of just really active and pushing it. And but as a result, people are kind of noticing what you guys are doing, and you've had tremendous critical support as well.
Yeah,
it's incredible. To see reviews coming out, you know, you're getting... you know, really well-known reviewers coming and saying, you should check this out. Congratulations on the reviews, you know, because they've been brilliant. I know we don't do it for the reviews,
really,
but, you know, it's nice when they come in. I mean, how has that support felt? Because it must
That's
be
so good.
Yeah, it's life changing at the moment.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing because I feel like everyone in this cast has worked really hard and put a lot of heart into this production, and so when you get people recognizing how hard you've worked and how much you appreciate the show, it's kind of amazing. It kind of gives, it kind of enforces the family aspect of the show even more.
Yeah,
because it's something that we've all kind of created together.
Yeah, sure. And the pressure with the creative team, you know, knowing that this is, you know, at the Southern Playhouse, which is really well, you know, patron venue, you know, and you're working with a spectrum of talent from, you know, you're saying from 14, you know, who's the youngest in the cast? Is it?
Probably.
The youngest principal is probably Isabella.
Is it? Okay, so.
And the oldest is.
But in terms of everyone, I would think it's 15.
15 is the youngest.
So that's a real pressure.
Yeah.
Like, so the onus on you guys to kind of prepare them for what it's going to be.
Yes.
Literally, kind of, okay, we're opening ourselves up to subjective.
Absolutely.
So.
For me, when I first heard about the project, I think it's a slightly crazy idea to do such a sort of, in a way, larger scale show in such a confined space without being disrespectful, and I'm not being disrespectful, but sort of younger and less experienced actors. I'm all for what Brutier stands for, but I did have my worries, if I'm being honest. I did have my sort of doubts initially. It was like, is this really going to work?
Yeah.
Because with everything riding so much on Hamilton, everyone's going to have a lot of attention on the show.
Yeah.
So between me, Ewan, who's a director choreographer, we have a lot of thought, and we're trying to make it as accessible as possible to everyone. We're trying to make it as good a standard as we can possibly can, and I certainly think we achieved that. I certainly think that everything that we've done has exceeded our expectation, and that comes a lot, and it says a lot about the cast that we do have, because you can't just do the show with any random people, especially given the stakes that we have, doing it in one of the best and most professional, the most known off West End fringe venue. Like you were saying, you know, a lot of people coming to watch, and they have been, and I know there are more people coming in as well. So certainly the stakes are very high, and I'm very proud of all of these guys.
I think you guys have risen to it. Like, the word of mouth is incredible, and you know, fringe venue is very difficult to sell out. You know, and so to know that it's selling out is great. I know you guys have got to go and warm up in a minute, but I'd like to ask lastly what. No, I've got two questions. I lie. First of all, is what do you expect people to take away? So what would you like them to take away when they come and see it? Because I know all of the things we see, just, you know, really energetic, and, you know, the things we get. I think energetic must be one of the main words I've seen in all the kind of reviews or the chatter about the show. But what do you think people will take away with them when they leave the show, having come and seen it?
A lot of people, to me, just said it's just a barrel of laughs, so much fun. And, like, there's loads of stuff in the West End, but I think it's quite different to some things that are happening at the minute. So, like, they've never done it in the UK before, and people are just so shocked at how funny the script is. Like, can't believe how funny it is. But also, I think some people are coming out and they're literally gobsmacked at how it's happened with 15-year-olds in the cast. Like, there is a massive age difference between some people. Like, between me and you, there's however many years, my God, but there's no difference between me and Isabella. I've done 3 years at drama school. Isabella's not trained, but she's well and above some of the 25-year-olds. Do you know what I mean? Like,
she's an Olivier nominee.
She's an Olivier nominee. But this is what I mean. I think people are coming away like, oh my God. Like, I'll be like, yeah, Skylar's 15. And they're like, no, she's not. I'm like, yes, she is. Like, people are just so shocked that I don't think the people expected it to be like the way it has been.
I think for me, one of the things that I've taken away, and I think that the audience takes away, is sort of a lot of the people that come to see it say to me, they say, you can tell that the cast is really close. When you're on stage, you can tell that you guys are all very close-knit and together. And I think that for me, one of the best things about the show is that I now have some amazing, I consider best friends, who have a massive age difference to me.
Yeah.
But I learned so much from them. Like, I'm really close with Robin, and I feel like when we're together, we don't really think of the age gap, but then other people notice it.
Professionals together, I guess.
And it's kind of nice because we all just sort of think of each other as the same.
Isabella Pappas, Robin McIntyre, and Chris Ma from Bring It On at the Southwick Playhouse. Now, before we wrap it up, if you're a theater professional, you need to head on over to curtaincallonline.com and set up for a free profile page. All you have to do is create an account with an email address, make up a cool password, and away you go. You can follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call. That's Curtain Call, one word, all lower letters. And we'd love to hear from you if you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast. Get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me personally at john@curtaincallonline.com, and that's John with an H. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to Isabella Pappas, Robin McIntyre, Chris Ma, and the entire company of Bring It On, and everyone at the British Theatre Academy. You guys did a brilliant job, and this is a brilliant production of the show. It's hilarious. You will laugh out loud, I promise. It's full of energy, one word that almost every critic used in their nearly unanimous praise of the production, and it is full of the West End's future. If you want to see who's going to be gracing London stages over the next few decades, folks, you need to get down to the Southwick Playhouse to see Bring It On. Now, you have until the 1st of September, and the link to the theater is in the show notes. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.